Good evening, everybody, and a blessed Christmas to you. This is, to my knowledge, over many, many years, this is the first time we have had something other than the Children's Christmas Program here. We had that this morning, and we're just going to have to see what we're going to do in years to come, but to be able to see so many of God's people here this evening is very heartening, because to be honest, we didn't know what to expect for this service here. There were we've got services that have got a much longer standing tradition here, but this is going to be something really special. And I thank you all for taking time out of what is always a busy Christmas and coming to worship your Lord and Savior. We do have services again later tonight at 11 and then tomorrow morning at 10. None of the three services are, I'll use the term, repeats. They've each got their own separate theme. The last two services, later tonight and tomorrow, are actually the final two services from the series that we were doing during the season of Advent, those services that we were having over in the Christian Life Center with suppers and so forth. Very special services that are on the way tonight. And tonight at 11 o'clock, our Faith Factor is also going to be a part of that service this evening. But whatever it is that's brought us to you, we thank you for being a part of our service. It's very hard on Christmas Eve to get people thinking past Christmas Eve, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the next time that we'll be gathering together in worship after Christmas is going to be our 60th anniversary next Sunday. Now, we do have a service on Saturday night. That's probably the closest we'll have to a New Year's Eve service. Will be the regular Saturday night 5 o'clock service, but the official celebration of our 60th anniversary is next Sunday. So we only have one service again at 10 o'clock, a special guest preacher from our church body, and then we've got the most incredible meal. We've had some really good meals with this, but we got a really good one coming next week. We'll be able to pass on to you once we arrive here for next week, and then we've got an afternoon of entertainment that's going to be capped off with bringing in the new year at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because know that we don't, aside from the people that come to late-night Christmas Eve services, we don't have a lot of people that are part of the midnight crowd. So we're having what's called a Georgia New Year at 3 o'clock. We hope that you can join us for that. Just a couple things. Our nursery attendant, her name is Judith Ritter, has been with us for 15 years, and she was here at the children's program this morning. It was really hard for her because all the kids that at one time she had had in the nursery were in this program today. But she is retiring from service here as our nursery attendant. We haven't had near as much business the last few years, but we changed that. We'll probably start staffing the nursery again. And just for anybody who donated any of these poinsettias, and we thank everybody who did, you can pick them up either after the 10 o'clock service tomorrow, or there will be somebody in the office on Tuesday. You can come and pick them up then. And thank you again to everybody for that. Let's stand and greet one another in the peace of the Prince of Peace. As you are able, please stand. We begin our worship this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. But Mary treasured up all these things. Christ has shined his wondrous light into our darkness. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Alleluia. In peace, let us pray to our Heavenly Father, confident of his forgiveness for Jesus' sake, beginning with a moment of silence. Almighty God, we confess that we are sinners by nature and by thought, word, and deed. We cannot and do not merit any forgiveness, but with repentant hearts, we turn to you for mercy, seeking your grace. In your loving kindness, forgive, restore, and lead us, so that we may be renewed and may live to the glory of your holy name. Amen. With joy, I announce God's good news to you. Our gracious God in his mercy has given his Son to be born, to live, and then to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, it is my privilege and joy to declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Be at peace and rejoice in the Lord, born as our Savior in Bethlehem. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, who makes us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, grant that as we joyfully receive the Word made flesh as our Redeemer, we may one day with sure confidence behold him who will return as the Son of Righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, we now continue with a series of scripture lessons appointed for Christmas Eve. Throughout the Old Testament, it speaks and foretells of the coming of a Savior. One of those readings comes from the book of Micah from the 5th chapter. He shall be their peace and ours. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament lesson comes from the first letter of the evangelist St. John from the 4th chapter. He reminds us the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Friends, I ask you again, as you are able, please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. As once again we hear the greatest story ever told, the Christmas Gospel from Luke chapter 2. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the town of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise. Friends, indeed, from the tiniest light, we see the light of God that shines on this night, both in the world and also in our hearts. May it shine from our hearts that we share with the world the greatest news ever told, given to us by God himself. Amen. My text for this evening are those well-known verses from Luke chapter 2 about the shepherds. Friends, while indeed I mentioned earlier that we have another service later on tonight, some of the finest traditions of worship for the celebration of Christmas actually begin about the time our service tonight is supposed to be finishing. Yes, there are traditions everywhere, and we're not just talking about regular midnight church services. We are talking about a full-blown affair that starts right at 12 midnight. There are celebrations where they have children. And yes, how to keep children up till midnight's beyond me, but they have children gathered in the four corners of the church. And all of them, they each have their verses that they are to sing. And it's almost like they're singing to one another. And the congregation that sits in the middle listens to this, and then they have a response that they share, that we have heard the good news that was given to us, even by children. Now, indeed, tonight, we do celebrate, no matter what time it is, the light of the world that started from among the tiniest beginnings. There are a lot of people who have asked the question, I wonder what it would have been like to be there during that time. Well, that may not be necessary because, you know, Luke certainly doesn't tell us everything, but Luke does a remarkable job at putting us there, at letting us see the things that he knows that we need to see. And by the way, when you go towards the end of the Christmas gospel, Luke chapter 2, verse 19, where it talks about Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And a lot of people, as he treasured up all these things, a lot of people have tried to make so much of what that might have really have meant. But more than anything else, whether you've ever heard this or not, Luke was simply reminding us that the first witness of all of these things was Mary herself, waiting for the time for it to be told. Tonight, my friends, as we hear the Christmas gospel from Luke, we are hearing it from the lips of the mother of Jesus herself. This is her sharing with Luke exactly what happened that night. Yes, that they were sent by a census. And clearly, the census was still going on during the time that it was time to give birth because there was no room for them in the inn. And she ended up wrapping the child in what is basically a poor person's diaper, in swaddling cloths, and then laying the child in a manger. And then came the story of the shepherds. And clearly, as a bunch of shepherds came in at who knows what time, but we know it was by night. Certainly, they would have explained to Mary exactly what they were doing there. But what about you? What would you have been doing there, no matter where there was? What if you had been one of those people who were crowding in Bethlehem that night, who ended up being the people who heard from the shepherds all the things that they had heard and seen? Some versions of the scripture say that the people marveled at it, like they were almost dumbstruck. Could this really be? While others simply say they wondered. And that as the Bible has come to us, it's a little bit ambiguous. Sometimes it talks about a solid declaration, the word that is used, and sometimes it does infer that, yeah, they're thinking about it, not quite sure what to make of it. Would we really have been any different? If we were blessed to be in Bethlehem, but look, in the midst of all of the things, the little details that Mary did include, notice what she did not include. While the people wondered about what had taken place, and there must have been a buzz going about that probably Joseph had heard, we're really not told that anybody else really went to check it out. When the wise men came searching for that child who was born king of the Jews, and so naturally they would go to the city of the Jews, Jerusalem. And it put the city in an uproar. Now, wait a minute. If someone was born, if the person that was to be born king of the Jews, the Messiah, was born, why hadn't we heard about it? But even then, the wise men went on alone. And years later, if there was any recollection of what had happened in Jerusalem, which would have been, or in Bethlehem, which would have been 25 or 30 years later, nobody ever talks about it. John the Baptizer appears on the scene and he has to tell them something that at least a few of them should have already have known. It's easy for us to say, well, now, wait a minute. I know about this Savior. I know what he means to me. I know what he has done for me. It's what has us here this evening. And yet sometimes we have to wonder. We go through a season and there's a lot of dark things that refuse to stop just because we have arrived at Christmas Eve. The reality of life sometimes makes it hard for us to appreciate the good tidings of great joy. But do we take the time to see what that light has done for us? You see, thankfully, we don't have to. We get the incredible privilege of being able to look back. Look back and see the things that many people wanted to see, but had they seen it, who knows what they would have done. Today, we see it with the most important eyes of all. Not the failing eyes that need to go to the doctor from time to time, but the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith that are kept sharp through the power of the Holy Spirit. The eyes of faith that let us see who Jesus really is. Yes, the Savior who has come for the whole world, certainly, but first and foremost for you. First and foremost for the person that became God's child that God cares an awful lot about. You know, sometimes some of the other traditions that will start to unfold here in the hours to come. Maybe even we've had one, like with a Christmas dinner or something like that. The opening of gifts. All of these things are meant to be gifts of love. And look, I understand that money doesn't buy happiness, nor does it buy love. But somehow we want to be able to show. We want to be able to share. We want to be able to make it clear that there are people that are important in our life that we want to remember. That we want to send a little or not so little of a reminder that they mean the world to us. Well, look at the present that God gave. God gave the only present that could really make a difference in our lives. God was willing to sacrifice his only son because it was the only way we were ever going to be right with God again. God was willing to let his son be that person that would take the place that belonged to each one of us, that went to the cross to die for things that we really needed to take responsibility for. God set it up so that his son was the one that was declared guilty so we could be declared not guilty. Does it get better than that? Well, maybe it does. Because the Savior came into this world, yes, laid in a manger, but he didn't stay an infant. He lived a life of utter poverty and lived a life of service, showing by example just exactly what God has sent to us and what that should mean to each of us. Back in the Victorian era, there was this individual that was known in some of the richer households as the fourth man. Now, they had other people that had different titles of first, second, and third, and sometimes more than one. And even though they were all servants, most of them, if you were given a first, second, or third, were able to do some of the nicer work. You were able to be in the presence of the man and his wife. You were able to be the one that was serving during times of that they were hosting other people. The fourth man, though, was never to be seen. He's the guy that got all the really dirty jobs. Yes, they had garbage cans back then, and it was his job to scrub them and make them look good after emptying the garbage out of them. He was the one that would have to do the hottest of jobs working with keeping up the fires, and the coldest of jobs. From the time that they had versions of ice cream, his job was to figure out the way to best freeze the ice cream. And every nasty job that you could think of regarding the animals. But no one was more valued than the fourth man. Well, our Savior came as the firstborn, but was willing to make himself a fourth man for all of us, was willing to do the dirty work that had to be done, so that now when we stand before God, we can stand before him freed of our sins, freed of our guilt, and declared not guilty from all of the consequences. But as you think about a Savior who was willing to do all of that, just imagine what that means for us. These days, my friends, telling other people that Jesus really is the most important thing, far more important than anything else that the people of this generation seem to value, may be seen as work dirtier than the work that the fourth man does. But so be it. If we have received from on high the gifts from God Almighty, from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, three people, one God, we can be that fourth man, that fourth woman. Whatever God needs us to do, we do. On behalf of our neighbor, on behalf of our brothers and sisters in the faith here at Faith, on behalf of someone in need. But most importantly, on behalf of a God that was willing to give something far worse. In the scriptures, a little bit later on, in Luke chapter 2, Mary was reminded that a sword would pierce her own soul as well. And she who gave birth to Jesus, having to watch him die, was probably the most difficult thing, as it always is for a mom, even knowing what that meant for the salvation of people. It's a story that only begins at Christmas, but what a story it is. And so, don't worry about what it would have been like to have been there. You're here tonight. And the job that we get to do now is exactly what the shepherds did. No matter how people respond to it, no matter what they think of it or what they think of you for telling them, that's what we have to do. To make known abroad the saying that has been told you concerning him who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A blessed Christmas to all of you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. This time we receive our offerings. In the racks in front of you are these Faith Fellowship cards. We ask you to fill them out just like we ordinarily do. Let us know that you were here tonight. And once the offering is done, the ushers, as they come back from placing the plates up here, will be collecting those from you. So you'll have a couple minutes here to fill them out. Let's receive our offerings. Please note the special responses that are used at the conclusion of each of the petitions of our prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God Almighty, we come before you on this most holy night in awe at the wonder and majesty of what you have done for us. The Savior of the nations has now come, and with joy we greet our newborn King. Let the proclamation of his birth sound forth throughout the world. Give to your church the people who will proclaim the good tidings of great joy, giving to your people willing ears to hear and to believe. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. In the birth of your Son, you have signaled the beginning of a new creation. While we still live in a world wrecked by the ravages of sin, we know that the final victory is yours. And what you have given us through the Holy Spirit is now ours. But in the midst of this time, dear Lord, we still live in a dangerous world. And so we ask that, especially this evening, you watch over and keep safe all of those who must work or those in the military that will be separated from their families for this holiday. Keep them safe. Keep them dedicated. All of those who are serving as first responders, police, firefighters. Help each and every one of those people as they look out for the well-being of our families, that we also look out for the well-being of theirs. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. In the birth of your Son, you have visited and redeemed your people. Continue to visit those who are lonely, sick, recovering, near death. We pray on behalf of Donnelly Ogorzelek, who is hospitalized this evening at Trinity, on behalf of the mother of Jerry Brock, who is going through some struggles of life. Let your presence be a comfort to them and to all, including one that we now name before you in the privacy of our own hearts. We pray that you would grant healing, relief, deliverance, and peace. Oh, come, let us adore him. In the birth of your Son, you have now made a new family out of all of humanity. Keep us ever mindful that Jesus is for all people. Give us the opportunity to tell others the good news of his coming so that they can join in the praise of your holy name. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. In the birth of your only eternal Son, who is of one substance with you, you visited mankind. And so your eternal Godhead is bound to the body and blood he gives us in the sacrament of the altar. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Jesus Christ our Lord. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." May the everlasting peace of the Prince of Peace be with you always. I'm going to be finishing up here, this here in just a moment, but what's going to be happening now is we're going to do something a little bit different in terms of candles tonight at the request of different individuals that struggle a little bit with the wax and so forth. You're going to be receiving one of these, and most of them, I don't think all of them, but most of them, all of them have an on-off switch on the bottom, but most of them, again, not all of them, have got this little orange tab. Before the on-off switch works, you have to pull the tab. And then once you pull the tab, the light comes on. They're going to be passing them out to you, and as soon as you have it, you know, since this isn't going to hurt anybody, you can start turning them on. We are going to begin extinguishing the lights here in just a moment. There we go. Much better. Okay. Friends, as the light of these candles illumines our faces, it symbolizes the light of Christ, a child in the manger at Bethlehem, a Savior suffering our death on the cross, and soon to come from his throne on high as King of all. He is our light here on earth, and the eternal light who enlightens heaven where there is no need of either candle or sun. Rejoice. For the light of the world has come, who transforms us with the brightness of his glory. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have no, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. My friends, let us pray together. O God, you make this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known the mysteries of that light on earth, we may also come to the fullness of his joys in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. May God Almighty, the Father who gave us his Son born this night for the light of the world, the Son born of Mary and laid in a manger, who has revealed to us God's grace, mercy, and love, and the Holy Spirit, by whose blessed work in us we are seen to be God's true children, bless you tonight, throughout this season, into the new year, and forever. Amen. On behalf of all of us here at Faith Lutheran Church, from our family of faith to yours, and for you as a part of this family of faith, we wish all of you a blessed Christmas. Friends, go in peace and serve the Lord.